Welcome to this edition of Indigenous Studies Radio. We are your hosts, Jordan Poitras.
And I'm Jose Michaud. Today on the show, we will be looking at what it means to be Indigenous.
We have a few choice interviews that we've done over the past little while, and we think they tell a story of not only what it means to be Indigenous, but how the identity has transformed itself over time.
What are we listening to right now?
This is an opening drum ceremony and blessing for a march that was done on Valentine's Day. People gathered and marched in memory of murdered and missing women in Canada. This gathering, remembering, marching, and fighting is a theme that we will explore. Jose, you spoke to a few people about Métis identity.
Yes, well, I was actually speaking to these people about Louis Riel, who I thought brought the Métis identity out of obscurity and shame and into something more positive.
Who are you speaking to here?
This is Gilles Lesage. He works at Le Centre Patrimoine, which is an archive
as
center.
Riel was more and more recognized in his role, particularly in the creation of the province of Manitoba, it was also a recognition of the role of the Métis people in 1869-70. And as he was being recognized more and more, it also meant that Métis were more proud of him, but also of themselves, and proud of the Métis history, Métis culture. And so as that went on, and as Riel became more and more recognized, it had an impact on all the Métis people. And what you can see, especially with the 80s and 90s, people being more and more proud to be Métis in looking back on their Métis history, recognizing it, making it public. So you can hear a lot of people today talk about the fact that their mothers and grandmothers would never talk about this, that that was kind of a taboo subject. And today, they're really proud of talking about it.
That's interesting. You know, my grandmother won't admit to being Métis either.
My grandparents are beginning to come around to the idea of being Métis. And I also spoke to Philippe Mayette, who is the director at the Museum of St. Boniface, and he basically said the same thing, really enforcing that how people perceived Louis Riel changed the way people saw Métis and the Métis saw themselves.
Do you think that Louis Riel means more to the Métis people today than in the past?
I can't speak for the Métis themselves. Think what's happened is I think he always meant something to them, but because of the way that, you know, Riel was treated, shall we say, by the majority population and so on, for too many generations, the Métis were essentially, I don't want to say ashamed. We won't talk about being Métis because that just, you know, then people just say nasty things about us and so on. So we'll just let it go. There's a wonderful little film called Mémère Métisse. My Métis grandmother that was put together by Janelle Wookie. Janelle is a young woman now. I think she was probably all of 21, 22 when she made the film. At least that's what she looks like. And she, of course, was a proud, you know, Métis of this current generation and so on. But she couldn't understand why her grandmother denied the fact that she was Métis. You know, her grandmother, nope, French-Canadian. Nope, not Métis. Nope, not me, French-Canadian.
My mom... Métis and my mom?
Yeah.
Putting them together?
Yeah.
That's funny.
Denial.
Always denied it. I think she always will.
She's never talked about it. She's never admitted it.
Are you Métis?
No, she didn't. I'm not.
Are you sure?
She basically goes on a quest with her grandmother to, one, as she phrases it, bring my grandmother to Métis boot camp. In other words, I want to expose her to contemporary Métis culture and what it's about and so on. The second mission is to try and understand why her mother was reluctant to declare herself to be Métis. And the third part was to get her mother to see if she could get her grandmother, sorry, to take out her Métis card. So it's quite wonderful. So again, the idea is I can't say that the Métis are taking more pride in Louis Riel than they did before, but they are far more prepared to essentially wave that flag and say, you know what, we're Métis, we're proud of it.
Maybe today you're proud to be, but at our time, we're not proud to be Métis.
20 years ago, there was a letter in La Liberté. 20 years ago, meaning 40 years ago from this point, nobody was Métis. Now everybody wants to be. And I think that's continuing today, and I think that's wonderful.
Okay, so Riel was alive quite a while ago. So now how did the government change the perception of Métis people?
Well, recently with the creation of the new statutory holiday, Louis Riel Day, the Métis now have a platform where they can be proud of their culture.
Well, other provinces call it Family Day.
Yes, well, it was put up to the schools and Louis Riel Day came on top. So that's an interesting indication of how the public are more accepting of their culture.
The Métis have their struggle and had. However, Native people of North America are still fighting. There is no single savior, which is fine considering there are so many different nations that call North America or Turtle Island their home.
This is Leon Mandeman. He's the counselor for Shoal Lake Band 39.
Independent First Nation.
His community began to stand up to Winnipeg, who have recently proposed selling water services to rural communities. If you're not aware, Winnipeg's water comes from Shoal Lake.
It's, I guess you can say that throughout history, since we've been placed on the reservation, you could say that our people have been beaten down and because of the rules they try to abide by that's set up for us over the past few years. We've been opposing those restrictions, opposing those guidelines, because to us they're just our people have had enough. Our people have, are tired of it. We want an economy. We want healthy homes. We don't want to be put in tight boxes anymore that you call homes. Our people want bigger homes, to be comfortable, to have a healthy lifestyle. And we can't have that when we're subjected to all these little rules that hinder our people.
Are you from Lake St. Martin?
Yes. Born and raised there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So obviously this is really close to you.
Yeah, it's close to my heart.
This is Dr. Merle Ballard. She did a documentary about Lake St. Martin and their flooding issues called Flooding Hope. Her documentary is another way First Nation people are taking action. You didn't have to go too far to get your research together for this film.
No. Why I got interested in it, because when I was growing up in Lake St. Martin, I saw the changes that had occurred over time. For example, we used to take up our cattle and to water them, to feed them, on a daily basis. But eventually, my mom and my uncles sold their cattle because there was nowhere for them to graze anymore because the land was flooded. It was damaged.
The community has been flooded out and relocated, but not everyone. Some are still housed in hotels in Winnipeg.
Do you have any hopes, anything that you hope to come of revealing what's going on at Lake St. Martin?
It has to be revealed. What I'm doing, showing the video to as many places as I can, regionally, nationally, internationally. The truth has to be heard. It has to be known out there what the government has done to the First Nations people, because it's usually the people downstream, living downstream from these water control structures, that are always impacted.
Dr. Ballard wants her film out there and show people the injustice that government has left her First Nation community in.
Chickadee Richard is an activist and First Nation person. Here she is speaking at a teach-in that was held February 27th.
Quite a number of years ago, probably about 14, 15 years ago, Saigon has a pulp mill there. There was a spillage there that happened. Yeah, so there was a spillage there of contaminants that happened, and the people weren't told for 10 days. Oh, that really bothered me. What happened was that we decided that we were going to do a protest in front of the AMC, and Fiona was part of that. And so people are saying, oh, you're protesting again. What's going on here now? And we knew the fact that, if you contaminate the water, you're going to contaminate all life. You're going to contaminate the fish. You're going to contaminate the animals. You're going to contaminate human beings. And I remember talking to my daughter. She was 14 at that time. I said, what are you going to do? I said to her, you're going to come and join us? And then she said, no, I'm going to go to school. It's cultural day today. And it was Nichimakwa. And I thought, okay, well, I think about this. I said, think about the water. I said, yeah. Without that water, there's no life, I said. And so we protested. We took a break. We sang. And then my daughter showed up. She had made this sign. And in this sign, there's no water. There's no land. There's no life. There's no culture.
That's so cool, that connection she shares with her daughter. Jordan, now what does it mean to be Indigenous in the 21st century?
Being Indigenous in the 21st century means standing up, like always. But the only difference is that you can feel more secure about who you are, which is something to be optimistic about.
Well, like Thomas King wrote, Native people live modern lives informed by traditional values and contemporary realities, and that they wish to live those lives on their terms.
Well said.
Before we sign out, we'd like to thank Philippe Mayotte, Gilles Lesage, and Dr. Merle Ballard.
Also, Leon Mandeman and Chickadee Richard. At the beginning, we spoke about a Valentine's Day march in memory of murdered and missing women.
We leave you now with the rest of the song Anna May by Red Robe Women Traditional Drum Society.
Thanks, Jose.
Thanks, Jordan.
You've been listening to Indigenous Studies Radio.